So if you have to detail out each step, so it means that decreasing the forces tending to keep the organization in its existing state. So that's what it says in a state of unfreezing. You keep the organization is the as-is position. Right? So use of the driving forces in which behaviors are directed away from this existing. I gave you the example of the reporting. Right? And then you implement the change. You move, you get it moving by implementing the change. Once the unfreezing of the organization is complete, it can be moved to the desired end state. So you have reached the desired end state. Once you receive, when once you move to the desired end stage, make it permanent by refreezing it. Yeah, so once the unfreezing of the organization is complete, it can be moved to the desired and end state. Movement involves the building new values, attitudes, behaviors through internalization, identification, or any changes in the structure. The change may be minor, requiring few members, or maybe major, requiring many members as well. So it could be both minor or major. But in addition, it requires a quick change, which can be seen as more effective than the changes that are built up too slowly and brought about. Okay, so if at all you are moving on some steps which are making the organization move slower, you probably will have to look at it and make some quick changes on that. Then comes your freezing stage, which is your, again, the refreezing stage. So freezing is the final step involving, which is also called as refreezing. Final step involving stabilizing the change that has already been brought in by balancing the drive and the restraining forces. Okay, for a successful movement to change, so you will have to continue, you have to bring the frozen elements into picture, and then you will say that, okay, this is what is the foolproof process that we have administered. It has happened. Now we want to make it permanent. So it's standardized. Okay, and then it is to stabilize the new situation by balancing the driving and the restraining forces. So you balance it out by the drive and the restraining forces. So so hope everybody is clear with the three-step model of Lewin. Now we'll go to Kotter's 8-step plan for implementing change. So according to John Kotter, Lewin's 3-step model was not enough for him. So he worked on it, reworked on that model in order to build a more detailed approach. He felt it was very basic and very crisp. Okay, so when you want to do quick changes, that works. But for a detailed plan, you have to add in little more steps. So he began by listing common errors that leaders make when attempting to change. So they may fail to create sense of urgency because they do not create the urgency for the change, the need of change. They may fail to create a coalition. They might not be able to work closely with the managers, and they may fail to create a coalition for the process of management. And they may also fail to have a vision to change and effectively communicate it. So they might see the long term. They might just talk about the long term goal of the change, but however, they may not be able to communicate it very, very well. And it may not get disseminated well. So to remove obstacles that could impede the vision's achievement. So they may also fail short-term and achievable goals. They might just talk about the very big picture. And there are a lot of people whom you understand, even from the personality trait perspective, there'll be a lot of people who only understands when you break it down to smaller tasks. They do not understand the macro view well. So what they will do is they may fail to provide the short-term and achievable goals to the employees. Hence, the employees may not clearly have an understanding of the bigger outcome. Fail to anchor the changes into the organization's culture. Not every manager is equipped enough to anchor the changes in the organization. They may also declare victory too soon. They might see some changes, some reflections, they might see some flavors of changes would have come into visible, and they would declare the victory very soon. They would just say, oh yeah, it's done and all that, and they might start celebrating also, but it may be too soon. Right, so it may not be a permanent one. It might be just a phased manner changes which has occurred. So Kotter's 8-step plan for implementing change. So here you have to note that Kotter's first 4 steps relates to the unfreezing stage of Lewin. Step 5, 6 and 7 actually relates to the implementation stage, which is also called as moving stage of Lewin's model. And the final step links to the freezing stage, which is also, he has also called it as a refreeze. Okay, so can you see this? So now creating, how do you create the climate for change? Is with these first 3 steps, which is about creating the urgency, which was not present in the Lewin's model in the lucid terms. It was not in lucid terms. It was there in ingrained, but it was not lucidly put across. But here, Kotter has put it very, very lucidly. So he has created, he said, first is to create urgency, that it cannot happen in it does not have to be a Godspeed change, but at the same time it cannot happen in the, you know, never ending it cannot be a never ending story. So hence you have to create an urgency. Then you have to create, you have to form a powerful coalition. You have to work together with the managers. You have to build a coalition together, and then you have to create a vision for change. What is the end in mind when we are looking at this, when we are embarking on this change? What is it that we are expecting? What is the result that we are looking at? What is the outcome that we are looking at after this change? Okay, so this basically will set the climate of for change. The second one is engagement and enabling the organization. So here there are again 3 steps. So once you have created the vision, you have already shared the vision for the change. Now you communicate the vision to the employees who are involved in this stage. So the you communicate the vision. You empower action. Then you say that these are, in order to have this, in order to live this vision, in order to be able to achieve this vision, what are the things that we will have to do? What are the certain actions that we will have to take? What are the some quick wins? There could be some long-term vision that we are working on. The change can happen only in a period of 1.5 to 2 years. But what are some of the quick wins that we can do so that we get the confidence of the stakeholders? So what are some of the quick wins that we will work on? Implementation and sustaining for change. Okay, build on the change now. So now you have thought of the create to create quick wins. Now you have created those quick wins. You did some short-term goals. You have shown those achievements, enjoyed and celebrated those milestones. And then now you build on that stage change. The change has already been implemented. Now you build on it, make it more powerful, make it more stable, make it more magnanimous. And then finally make it stick. That's where you're working on implementation and sustenance for change, right? So there are three buckets that you're working in, basically: the climate, the engagement and the implementation. Setting the climate, engaging the employees, and then helping the employees implement and stabilize the change. Yeah, I hope Kotter's model is clear to everyone. Now we come to the third aspect that we were talking of, which was organizational development. Now, when it comes to OD, organizational development, it is the study and implementation of practices, systems, and techniques that affect the organizational change. It is a system-wide application and transfer of behavioral science knowledge to the planned development, improvement and reinforcement of the strategies, structure and processes led to the organizational effectiveness. So this is what Thomas Cummings and Christopher Worley has said, that organizational development is a system-wide application and the transfer of behavioral science knowledge that you have to the planned development. Okay, so you bring in those behavioral science elements into the planned development, improvement and reinforcement of strategy, structure and processes, which will ultimately lead into a organizational effectiveness. Now, so if you can see this structure here, so this is the framework of OD. Okay, so if you see this framework, the first thing that you see here is the structure of professional organization. So this is the structure that is talking about of the professional organization, any professional organization. So multiple ladder system for core competencies development. So when you have to develop the competencies of employees, you'll have multiple ladder system. at this level, we do these competencies. At this next level, these are some competencies that you'll go through. Then in the next level, certain more competencies will be added up. Then you have the HR approach to organizational development, and you have professional learning in communities of practice. Now, what is it that you see here? Okay. So what is leading to ultimately the structure, the ladders of competencies, development, the HR working towards the organizational development, and the professional learning in communities, practicing that whole professional learning in place, and then bringing it to an organizational development level through informal professional role, which could be sometimes low status as well. And formal professional role could be institutionalized. Okay, so here it could be, so when it's informal, it may not lead to very high status levels, because you have not acquired too many stakeholders' confidence here, because it is still at the informal stage. But once the OD, the organizational development, makes it formal and announces it formally, and makes it a professional role, it becomes institutionalized. Yeah, so this is the framework that most of the organizations uses to bring in their organizational change. Can you see the change, how it is happening? So informal and formal. In case of informal professional role, you will always have low status symbol. And when it's formal, you'll always have it institutionalized and standardized. Now, the following values underlie the majority of efforts of OD. So when it comes to organizational development, there are some very sensitive issues that we take care of. Okay, so first is the respect towards individuals. The individual's dignity and the respect must be always preserved. Okay, so that's one of the key element of an organizational development initiative. Okay, so they are viewed as responsible, conscientious, and caring. So these are the three things that needs to be at any point in time preserved. Second is the trust and the support. Trust, genuineness, openness, and a nurturing climate, okay, are some of the characteristics of a healthy and effective organizations. So respect for individuals, trust and support, power equalization. So hierarchy control, in today's date, it's completely, it's becoming very, very lucid in nature. Emphasis on hierarchy and control is absent from effective organizations. Okay, from the time effective organizations have come into place, we have seen that power equalization is becoming more and more realistic. The hierarchy and control mechanisms are kind of fading away. Confrontation. There should be open confrontation of issues rather than avoidance. So this is an inculcation of a complete understanding that if you have a problem, if you are not agreeing to a particular situation or a responsibility that has been given to you, if you're not comfortable with it, please come back, please come and discuss. Instead of just avoiding it and looking for a new job or moving out of the organization or speaking to another stakeholder saying that, okay, please move me into your department. So instead of, rule out all this, rather speak up. Okay, and participation. The greater participation of people in decisions, the greater possibility of their commitment and drive for it. So the more you involve, the more you get the employees in, involved in discussion and participation, the possibility of commitment goes higher. There are various OD techniques or interventions for facilitating change. And some of them are very, very popular nowadays. First is the sensitivity training. Second is your survey feedback. Third is the process consultation, team building, intergroup development, and appreciative inquiry. So let's go deep diving in, one by one, each technique. Let's understand what it talks about. What do you understand by sensitivity training? So sensitivity training is a training which happens in small groups. And here the team has to interface by building sensitive awareness. it's a you know, they need to interact with each other by building a sensitive awareness and understanding self and their relationship with others. So how they are themselves, what is their personality, what is it that you how are you as a person, how are you as a self, and how do I interact with others, what are your relationships with others. So this approach in process oriented, which implies individuals learn through being part of the processes and observe rather than being told. So they only factor that is important here is that they learn by observing. Okay, so they just, it's a completely observation methodology when it comes to learning. Okay, many organizational interventions such as, you know, some of the quick examples that comes to mind here are your diversity trainings, your team building activities, your, you know, outbound activities. All these are under the lines of sensitivity training. Now the survey feedback. Now, what do you understand by survey feedback? So, survey feedbacks are nothing but it evaluates the employees' attitudes, differences, and the perceptions, and it helps them to find solutions in the differences that are there between the different people. Okay, so how do you actually understand, how do you actually do a survey that it evaluates all these parameters of your employees? Your attitudes, your differences, your employee perceptions, and how do you actually give a solution for this? How do you actually identify a solution for this? So survey feedback is aimed at the organizational level. It requires participation from all employees, whereas it is aimed at a specific work unit. For example, a strategic business unit that requires the head of the SBU and his SBU team to participate in it. So this is an org-wide and at the same time also can be departmental-wide initiative. Okay, so if at all the SBU head requires his feedback to be given, so his entire team has to participate in it, okay, and give the necessary feedback. So team leaders are educated to encourage discussions and focus on issues rather than the individuals. So they completely kept on. So one thing that caveat that keeps getting built all the time is that the team leaders are there to encourage discussions and focus on the issues. They have to break them down when it requires to, but they do not have to focus on an individual. So it does not matter X is undergoing, Y is undergoing, Z is undergoing. You only have to focus on the issues. You do not have to focus on the person. Now is your process consultation. So the clients, so here, as per the definition here, the clients are actually typically the managers in the organization. Okay, so who might sense that their performance can be improved but are unable to identify the cause. They know that they believe that their performance can be improved, but they do not know the ways and means of doing it. They don't know what is the cause of having this performance issue and what is it that can be done to, or what are different methods available to improve. So the process consultants, they usually work with the managers to diagnose the problems. They can be also external consultants guiding and coaching them to find a solution to the problems themselves. Okay, so advantage here is that due to the end-to-end participation by the client, they build better understanding of the processes. They were not phase-wise incorporations are not there. So one person is responsible from the beginning to the end. So end-to-end consultation is there. Hence, they build better understanding of the processes and solutions, and they also tend to be highly supportive of the action plan chosen. Because you are in touch with them, you are engaged with the team so well over a period of time. So hence, you get better commitment as well. Team building. It involves building trust, openness, and mutual respect between a group of people who are coming together to achieve a common purpose. And team building will also involve your goal setting, your building IPR, role analysis for clarification purpose, and process analysis. So all of this will also be part of the team building. It may focus or sometimes ignore certain activities as well. So considering the goal of the development efforts that they are embarking on, they might decide to confront it, or they might just decide to just keep it at the slow flame to be able to do it as and when it comes. Okay. However, the main object of team building is to use high interaction of members to increase team effectiveness. There has to be regular interaction. There has to be regular, exchange of thoughts and ideas, regular brainstorming sessions to be able to increase the effectiveness of the team. Then comes your intergroup development. So what do you understand by intergroup development? So intergroup development attempts to alter the attitudes, beliefs and perceptions. Now all of us are bestowed with our own set of beliefs, our own set of attitudes and perceptions. Okay, and being in groups interconnected to each other, we'll always have to work together with the existing belief. We cannot expect that somebody in the group joins in, so we will kind of twist and turn our behavior according to his needs. It cannot happen like that. So hence we'll have to adapt, we'll have to attempt to alter our attitudes and beliefs as much as possible ourselves. The intergroup development interventions involve diversity training, which focuses on diversity in occupation, in departments. As I said earlier, that there are no women employees in the maintenance department. There is no women employees in HR. You have all women employees. You don't have a male member on it. So you might work on diversity there. Okay, and divisions within an organization. So this could call for intergroup development. So these are some of the intergroup developmental initiatives. So one of the most popular approach to intergroup development is problem solving. So here what happens is, so a lot of times the diversity training, as we have mentioned, that we have to inculcate more of a mix of genders, making the culture more inclusive. All of these are part of the intergroup development. The members may form further subgroups. Okay, so this intergroup may form further smaller groups from each of the conflicting groups for further diagnosis and develop alternate solutions. So now the next one is appreciative inquiry. Now, I'm sure all of you must have come across this. This is one of my favorite tool that has been, I have been using it. So appreciating inquiry is an approach to organizational change that focuses on identifying what is working well. So first thing is that why it's very close to my heart is that because it talks about what worked well. It talks about celebration. Enjoy and feel accomplished about what has worked well for you. Analyze the reasons for it working well. So what worked well? What are the reasons for which it has worked well? And then continue to do more and more of it. So which means you have strengths which has worked, and what are those activities that has led towards those strengths? And then finally, those are working for you, keep working on those activities. Okay, so that's what is appreciative inquiry is all about. So appreciate about what has worked and what has helped you in achieving that, and continue to do that. Okay, so the basic premise of appreciative inquiry is that an organization will move in the direction that its people focus on. So hence, when the focus is on the problems, then identifying and handling them will be what the organization will do best. Whereas when the focus is on the strengths, then identifying and leveraging them is what the organization will do best. So it depends what the organization's basic premise is. Okay. So the organization will move in the, so what is the direction of the organization? So I always ask this question, what is more important, direction or the goal of the organization? So goal is important, that is the end in mind, but the direction also is equally important. Okay, you need to understand which direction you need to move on. Okay, so that you're able to focus on the right things. So hence, when the focus is problem, then identify and handling the problems will be what the organization will do best. So David Copperider and Diana Whitney describes four steps in the appreciative inquiry tool. So here they talks about four D's. So what are those D's? discovery, dream, design, and destiny. So these are the four D's that they talk about. Discovery is the start of appreciative inquiry. This is the first step, okay? By establishing people's views regarding organization strength. Now, you need to visualize, this is this discovery stage where you kind of unfold a lot of things which are unknown. Yeah, so you're unfolding an ambiguous situation basically. So this is a start of, this is a starting point, okay? And how people views regarding organization's strengths, okay? So this discovery stage, then you move to dreaming stage where it talks about the information from discovery step is used by employees to create a compelling and ambitious picture of organizations. Okay, so this is how the organization should look like. This is what my organization, my dream organization is. This should be the design. So dreaming under this step, what you do is the information from discovery step. Okay, so whatever you have unfolded here at the discovery stage, you build on that. Okay, and you use that to create a compelling and ambitious picture of organizations. So this is how it should be. This is how it should look like. This is how the processes should be. This is how the people of a dream organization should look like. Okay, then you move to the stage of design. So in this step, what you do, you create a shared vision of preferred future. Okay, now you create, you understood that, you discovered the strengths, you discovered how the organization should look like. Yeah, so you, so under the dreaming, so once you have dreamt it, now what you do is now you work on the design. So in this step of design, what you do is you create a combined vision of a preferred future. So you know what your future should look like. What is your preferred future now? And you agree upon its qualities. Okay, the uniqueness, you find and agree on the uniqueness that it will have in your dream organization. Now the destiny, work on the destiny. Now what should be the final outcome? Okay, so under this final step, the employees attempt to determine organization's destiny. Okay, so this is how the organization should, this is what the result that we can look at. This is how it will contribute to the society. This is how it will contribute to the world or to the environment. Organization's destiny and create innovative plans and strategies to fulfill their dream. Okay, so these are the four steps that it has been very, very quickly articulated. Okay, so discovery, dream, design, destiny. So mostly organizations tend to have reactive. Now, in case of an appreciative inquiry, it is always beneficial to have, identify what's going well, analyze the resources that you have. So the detailed process would be you analyze the resources that you have for working it well and what will you need more of it. Okay, so that analysis will always work to your stride. And then how the organization will move and how the people will, what are the focus areas of people. And if focus is on the strength, the organization, the identifying the what the organization will do best is what you will have to leverage on. So for example, if the organization is focusing on the strength of the employees, you'll have to keep diagnosing the strengths of the employees of the organization. Okay, and then you have to build on it. So that's what is the four D's all about: discovery, dreaming, design, and then finally destiny. Decide the final step. Under the final step, you attempt to understand the outcome of the organization. How is it contributing, whether it is to the world, whether it is to the environment. So mostly organizations tend to have reactive approach to change. So whenever there is a change that has been called for in the environment, some organizations become very, very reactive. They immediately take actions and immediately put new policies in place. And in the face of changing environment, organizations transform themselves to adapt to the change. So the organizations undergo transformation just because they want to be able to adapt to what is calling by the nature. What is calling by the environment. So to be able to have a better recall of the of the ecosystem, the organization goes through transformation. So transformational change involves a company making a radical move in its business model. It often requires changes in the structure. Okay, culture and management. There are two such approaches. Okay, so you required, so when you undergo transformational change, transformation means completely breakthrough. Okay, when you completely transform the organization. So it involves a company making a radical move in its business model. Radical move means substantial move, often requiring changes in company. It requires company structure change, culture change, and the management. So there are two such approaches which works in this situation for a transformational culture: inciting innovative culture and building a learning organization. So these are the two approaches which works under a transformational culture. Thank you so much, everybody.